We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
They're playing basketball.
All around the world.
We are their basketball.
To the beach,
y'all. They're playing basketball.
So if you missed it, the NBA is getting a couple of new teams in the league, and Kansas City wants to be one of them. What do we have to get it? What don't we have to get it? It's a story that we talked about a little bit last week because CNBC had taken a closer look at it, basically saying it looks like one's going to go to Seattle, and after that, it's between Kansas City and Las Vegas, and money seems to be the difference. We wanted to look more at this, and one of the experts that they talked to for the story was Dr. Patrick Risch, who is the sports business director at Washington University in St. Louis, and he's taken some time out of his day to give us some insight here. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, the writer of the story laid out, I want to see if you just agree with the initial assessment, that Seattle is a given and that now it's between Las Vegas and Kansas City. True?
Partially true. And by the way, the writer of that piece, Jabari Young, is one of CNBC's top folks, so I encourage people out there to give him a follow. Seattle certainly, I would say, is in the driver's seat for one of the two franchises if the NBA does indeed decide to expand by two markets. And the reason for that is, as I teach in my classes at Wash U St. Louis, you know, the first thing in any league that any league commissioner wants to see from a market that's considering entry. They want to see a ownership group that's got the money. That sometimes trumps everything. Secondly, they want to see a market that has either some kind of history in the sport or shows some evidence that there's going to be support at the fan and the corporate level. And then thirdly, you have to have an appropriate stadium or arena situation. And if you look at Seattle, you've got somebody that Chris Hansen that was going to bring a team to Seattle several years ago. They got blocked by the Sacramento Kings. They stayed in Sacramento, but he's still interested. It's a wealthy market. A lot of fans formerly hosted an NBA franchise, and they have just upgraded, they're in the process of upgrading the former Key Arena, now Climate Pledge. So they basically check all the boxes. Where I disagree partially with your statement is, as far as who's next, I would also throw Louisville, Kentucky into that mix, and I would probably myself, as much as I like Kansas City, I don't want to offend my friends across state as civilians. But I would say, objectively, I would rank it Las Vegas, Louisville, and then Kansas City, and we can talk about why.
Well, let's go ahead and get right into that then, because I'm sure there are a lot of people going, wait a minute, Louisville sounds like a nice idea. Sure, they've got a very successful college basketball program there and a fan base all over Kentucky for basketball at the college level, but it's such a small market. So what does Kansas City need to do to overtake a place like Louisville, Kentucky?
Well, if you look at those three markets, Louisville, Kansas City, and then Vegas, at the end of the day, as I mentioned at the top, if one of those groups finds an ownership group that has just simply got more funds and also, so on top of that, maybe some experience in pro sports ownership somewhere else, that may trump all other factors. When you look at Louisville and Kansas City specifically, well, they both have arenas that are roughly the same age, or maybe a couple years apart, but both venues are viable. So the venue issue is somewhat of a wash in my eyes. Then it comes down to the market. Well, we know that Kansas City, being close to the University of Kansas, we know that Louisville, with both University of Kentucky and University of Louisville, both have strong fan bases, both have some corporate support. The concern I have about Kansas City versus Louisville is that even though I'm actually looking right now, I had a feeling you were going to bring this up, the Kansas City metropolitan statistical area was 2.15 million people. They're 31st in the country. Louisville is at 1.2 million, 46th in the country. So there is a difference in market. But keep this in mind. The NBA has a history of going to markets where the NBA is either the primary game in town or maybe there's one other team in town. For instance, just below Louisville in the rankings is Salt Lake City. And we all know what a great history Salt Lake City has had in the NBA. The Jazz have never won a championship, but they're, it's a viable market. That's my only concern, is that would the NBA look at Kansas City and say, wait a minute, you've already got the Chiefs. You've already got the Royals. Throw in, also, you've got the Sporting KC. Are they going to be able to support a fourth franchise from the corporate community, whereas Louisville is not facing anything? They've got minor league sports. To the extent that we want to joke around and say Kentucky and Louisville are pro sports because they've paid their players in the past, long story short, is that that's a variable that Louisville at least has in their favor. They don't have the same level of saturation that potentially Kansas City has.
So for us, one of the big questions we talked about this last week, and it's something we talk about a lot, is how do you determine that? How do you determine whether there are the entertainment dollars available to give to another big thing? And what we see is the difference between us and Las Vegas, for sure, is tourism. You know, Las Vegas draws in a lot of people that don't live there that are going to be spending money, whereas we maybe don't. How does an ownership group who might be choosing or might be looking at where to put some of their money decide if we've got the entertainment dollars here for that?
Well, if they're worth their salt, then these wealthy individuals didn't get where they are just by doing things willy-nilly. They usually do their homework. There would be a very in-depth market analysis, and probably not just of Kansas City, but also maybe even tapping into the league's resources that likely have data on typical fan spending in NBA markets. There'd also be, I would think, an analysis of what's the typical fan spending of people at Chiefs games and Royals games and so on and so forth. If it were me, if I were ever lucky enough to have that kind of money to, want to put my hat in the ring, I really would want to get into, understanding whenever a new team comes to market, whether it's Major League Soccer or the NHL is going to be adding Seattle soon, there's usually a season ticket deposit to show to the league that, yes, there's support. And I think that is always going to be favorable. I don't think that would be the issue. But speaking from a city here in St. Louis, where we have an expansion team coming soon in soccer, even St. Louis, we were given kind of a stern warning from Commissioner Don Garber, you've got to show us that there's corporate partnership support. And that would be my concern, is having conversations as the owner, and then, of course, from the league's perspective, with the big corporate players in Kansas City, what is your true level of commitment, and how vested are you already in the other sports teams in Kansas City, and are you actually going to go ahead and go the extra mile for the NBA? So, it's difficult to gauge these things sometimes, because people can always say in a conversation, sure, I'll invest in that, but will they actually do it? And, I think of another market that we mentioned here, Memphis. Granted, they're not the most successful NBA franchise, but again, they're just a couple spots ahead of Louisville in the size ranking, and yet there's an NBA market there. So that size factor that you mentioned, even though Louisville is smaller, it'd be a one-sport town, whereas Kansas City's got this saturation.
It seems like sometimes, too, the only thing more difficult than getting a team is getting a team back. And given the fact that there was a professional...
Oh, now you're running into a St.
Louis. Sorry about that. You'll get another NFL team someday. But no, Los Angeles was without one for 20 years, and it took Cleveland how long to get theirs back, even though they were promised it right away. And I mean, if you look at the fact that there was professional basketball here and that team folded, does it matter that was 35 years ago? Is anybody going to look back at that now and say, okay, we can get some information from this, given the fact that there is no professional basketball team in Kansas City now?
You know, it's funny that you raised that question because, you know, locally, in fact, I think I have an interview later today with somebody from the St. Louis Business Journal on that very question for St. Louis. Well, obviously, St. Louis had a team in pro basketball. We were members of the ABA, where Bob Costas got his professional career when he was calling play-by-play for them. But again, it comes back to, I tell the same thing to people here in St. Louis. You know, I think it's even more acute here. Even though we once hosted an NBA team or ABA team, things have just changed. There is saturation in this market. And, you know, with some of the things that have happened in some of the other sports, I think there's just more reticence to go down that road. And I would argue Kansas City, from a local fan support, is stronger than St. Louis in basketball, just because, you know, St. Louis, you've got people that are Illini or Mizzou fans, but that's not quite the same fervor as being in Jayhawk country.
I just want to get to the other point that's made here in this article about not having a billionaire available or obvious that could start an ownership group or be, you know, kind of the cornerstone of an ownership group. And Jabari makes that point, saying that's what Las Vegas has that we don't. I know you have other cities on the table, but he really made it seem like that was the thing that Kansas City doesn't have, is that even if there's interest here from fans for a team, that we just don't have the money. There's no big-name billionaire that's based in Kansas City. Does it need to be somebody from here?
It doesn't have to be somebody from there, but it has to be somebody that's got the resources. Because, again, look at it from the NBA's perspective. Do I want to admit a market? I don't care where it's located. Do I want to admit a team and a market into this league where the financial, you know, wherewithal of that ownership group isn't solid? We don't want to have to worry about the financial solvency of a particular market 2 or 3 years into their existence. And that's why, you know, the importance of having an ownership group with money is so important. And just a couple of case examples to prove that point. Look no further than the Carolina Panthers, and they expelled their previous owner because of misdoings away from the field, and they brought in David Tepper, who's one of the wealthiest guys in the world. He's a billionaire. Perfect example. Now, you guys have soccer, so you'll appreciate this case study. The three teams that are going to be admitted into Major League Soccer, St. Louis, Charlotte, and Sacramento. St. Louis, they got back into the fray. Why? Because a billionaire family, the Taylors that own Enterprise, they stepped into the ownership forefront. In Charlotte, as I mentioned, David Tepper, he owns the Panthers. Well, Major League Soccer likes his money too, so that helped them. Sacramento was actually in front of both of those markets, but their entry into Major League Soccer was delayed for one reason. They have the stadium, they have the fan and corporate support, but they did not have a whale. They couldn't find a big, you know, billionaire owner, and it finally took bringing in Ron Burkle, who's the co-owner of the Penguins. He's a Southern California guy. They brought him in. They found him. And once that happened, then that paved the way for Sacramento's bid in Major League Soccer. It doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. You've got to have somebody, either somebody or a group of people, whether they're local or not, that have the financial wherewithal to give the league comfort.
It's funny you should say that, because there was somebody who was pointing out to us last week on our text line when we were talking about this, that there is a lot of money here, but it's very quiet money. We, you know, our rich guys don't like to go around flaunting it. We don't have a Mark Cuban in Kansas City. Does it matter that there's not a personality there? Does it have to be somebody who's going to go out and really promote this to be able to get the bid to be successful? Or can you have that kind of quiet money who's going to sit back and just sign the checks?
I don't think that that's a factor, to be honest. And I know we mentioned Utah earlier, and I know they've been around forever, so it's not an expansion franchise. But the CEO of Qualtrics that purchased that team, he's a pretty mild-mannered guy. So you don't necessarily need to have somebody like that. You know, there's very few Mark Cubans to begin with.
True enough.
That kind of person. As we talk about this, this is a good point, because, you know, you are trying to sell the league on something, right? So having somebody that at least has salesmanship, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to be public about it, but having somebody that has salesmanship certainly is invaluable. But at the end of the day, that does not trump the ability to have somebody that's just got the financial wherewithal that it makes the league feel comfortable, because you don't want to have a team admitted to the league and then, again, a couple years later, they're in financial trouble.
Indeed. All right. Well, it's fascinating stuff. We're going to keep track of this, obviously, as the situation continues with the NBA's expansion. And Dr. Patrick Risch, sports business director at Washington University in St. Louis, and also author of They Shoot, They Score, Lessons in Leadership, Innovation, and Strategy from the Business of Sports. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on the show today.
And let's all hope that Patrick's injury from yesterday is not concussed, that he'll be fine next Sunday against Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!